Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com, TourStaffordVA.com. Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park in this morning. John Hennessy, Chief Historian and Chief of Interpretation with the Park Service, is here, and we'll introduce your other colleague in just a second. John, good morning. Welcome, and good to have you here.
Ted, how are you?
I'm good. It was a different kind of Memorial Day for the second straight year, and it was nothing that could be helped.
Yeah.
And the weather, I think, would have changed any of your the usual plans anyway.
Well, you know, it's hard to express what kind of emptiness that we all felt at not being able to do what we normally do. The change in status of, you know, the rules, local rules, national rules, all that sort of stuff came so fast and so late. You know, we did have a lot of people ask about the illumination of the National Cemetery, but that's an undertaking that takes literally months of preparation, and a lot of it enclosed spaces and things like that, filling bags and all that. So we just were not able to mobilize for it. But I think we're all looking forward to a return to normal. We're kind of working on that now. And it's been a long year.
Boy, it has.
You know, it's going to be really fascinating to see what kind of long-term effects the pandemic has. We can talk a little bit about that. I think it will certainly have some effect on how we do our business. We've learned some things and experimented a great deal. And so I think you'll see hopefully a better experience for visitors going forward.
I can't even think of what the last program I was trying to think. It would have probably been. I guess the Battle of Fredericksburg.
Yeah,
December of 19.
Yeah, because in 2020, of course, it got wiped out.
Yeah.
But I've done one live program in front of actual human beings in the last year and a half. And I've done lots of Zoom stuff.
You're right.
Which is, you know, speaking to a group via Zoom is pretty tough. You know, people turn their cameras off and you're talking to this little green light, and it's hard to get wound up about talking to a little green light on your computer. But so we're going to lean back into it, and I mean, it will be a leaning process for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we've got buildings that haven't been open for a year and a half now, and so we have a lot of work to do to get everything ready and get people back in our buildings.
Along with you this morning, Dean Colley, the bookstore manager with the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Parks. Dean, great to have you here this morning.
Thanks, Ted. Nice to be here.
It is great to talk to you. I am sure your life has changed a lot because of the pandemic.
Well, it has at the bookstore. So we were back and operational last June, but we're sharing space with our National Park Partners because the buildings have been closed.
Yeah.
So we're doing bookstore activities and orientation for the park with the park staff all in the bookstore right now.
Boy, that's different.
So, well, in fact, in most parks, that's the way it always used to be. You know, there was historically, I know when I started in the Park Service, we did Eastern National sales. So Eastern National, so people understand, is for the eastern half of the United States, about 150 parks, I think, is the Park Service's great partner.
Mm-hmm.
And has been that since the 1940s. You know, kind of our philosophy about Eastern National is, you know, we wish we could give everything away. You know, all the information that we have or that has been written or that's of use about our sites.
Yeah.
But we can't, of course. We can't give it away because it costs money. And so Eastern is really our partner to I mean, you know, we're in the business of information and interpretation and storytelling, but they are our partners in that in so many different ways. And, you know, people see national parks in however they experience them, but national parks are you know, they're really quite dynamic. You know, people think a park is created and then it's done. It's not. We're in a 100-year process of creation that'll continue for another 100 years. And Eastern, in the last half century, has given, especially this park, and Eastern, I think, has been especially successful at this park. It's just been such an important part of the visitor experience. And lots of headwinds, lots of challenges, you know, with online buying and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But, you know, Eastern is about when people come to national parks, they get excited to be there. And they want to remember that visit in some way. They're stimulated to buy something or want to know more. And Dean is there to respond to that. She also takes very good care of us over the pandemic. She's constantly been making meals for our interns and our seasonals and all sorts of stuff. So it's a wondrous thing to have a bookstore manager who is also a former caterer. That's a nifty combination.
That is a nice combination.
I have a good time.
Well, I'll tell you, the bookstores, and especially at the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park, I love them. I can go in at any time, and in fact, you being here today reminded me that I have in a little bag during all the anniversaries a few years ago of each of the battles around here. I have coins that I got at every one, and I want to put them in a shadow box, and I've got a hat I want to. You know, I've got all these plans. I haven't done it, and you here today made me think I need to do something with that.
Well, it is. I mean, I think it's important for all of our visitors, and you're a good example, to be able to take something back and remember their visit, and that's what this is all about.
The maps you have at Chancellorsville are just terrific. And each bookstore is different, and it's all specific to that particular battlefield.
Well, and we try to keep some things consistent for all the national parks. But you're right, getting things that are specific to that battlefield, and John does a great job. I mean, I come to him with, hey, let's do X, Y, and Z, and he'll pare it back to make sure that we're staying true to what our mission is for that park. So,
When I started way back when, 41 years ago, Eastern was almost, I bet 80 to 90% of the sales were books. And we've had to adapt over time. And by that, I mean we Park Service people, who are all kind of about information and books, but we also recognize that this is a company that needs to survive, an essential partner to us. And, you know, a lot of people look at nonprofits, be it Eastern National, Park Service is kind of the ultimate nonprofit, if you will. But, you know, other nonprofits, and they don't see them as businesses, but they're businesses.
Yeah.
You know, the local nonprofits, Ferry Farm, Fredericksburg Area Museum, they're all businesses. They employ people. They bring money into the community. And, you know, in the case of Eastern National, we need to keep them viable and going for a lot of different reasons. One of the biggest impact of the pandemic on what I do, which is, of course, convey information to the public. You know, our program, our staff gives programs and all of that sort of thing. I mean, the pandemic really hit Eastern National hard. And, you know, traditionally, Eastern National donates a percentage of their sales to each park. And those donations, that's my working capital. That's what I work with. And you know what? That's all gone now.
Right.
And
he's been there.
It's gone for probably a couple more years, I would guess. Hopefully not. So, you know, keeping them healthy is important part of what we do. And, of course, with this changing market, it requires us to take a little bit of a different approach. I think Dean will attest. She'll bring me stuff sometimes, and I'll grit my teeth a little bit and say, And my response is, well, if you think it will sell, then go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, and So, you know, we have a great partnership. You know, Park has to approve everything that is sold in the bookstore. We have evolved. I don't know whether we've evolved fast enough for Dean's liking or not on that account, but you know, and now, what percentage of the sales are books in the stores now?
So I would say probably half.
Yeah. So from 85-90% down to half. And so there's an emphasis now on, you know, souvenirs and things.
Commemorative items.
Yeah.
And that's I like both. Yeah. But I have kind of evolved to getting more of the souvenir items.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the sort of flavor of the books has changed so much too. So in the beginning, I think there were hardcore history people mm-hmm. who really wanted to know specifics of each battle. Now people want more human interest stories, personal accounts, a lot of medical stuff lately, a lot of books about women, and some books that are landed on the New York Times bestseller list, which is unusual for Civil War books.
Yeah, and I mean, we have a book that came out this past spring or winter by a fellow named John Madison, and former Pulitzer Prize winner, wrote about a wonderful book about the Battle of Fredericksburg. And it's not a tactical thing. It's a very humanistic look at the battle and the impact of the battle on five specific individuals. And so we're always looking for stuff. You know, Eastern was conceived with the idea that the parks or Eastern would create these sales materials. Originally, that was the idea. And for a long time, a pretty big percentage of the stuff that was sold in the bookstores was actually created by the park staff or by other park staffs. That has changed a little bit because product development is so expensive now, mm-hmm. and we rely on, you know, third-party publishers for the most part. But Eastern still, I think once things get back to normal, they'll get back in the business of creating product as well, which is really what we love, because that's the stuff that is very specific to our park and you can't get anyplace else. And the challenge with the market today is you can get anything anywhere. And so having stuff that you can't get anyplace else is really important.
Quick break. We'll be back. A great conversation this morning. Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park here. Dean College on Hennessy here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park in this morning to talk about things. John Hennessy is here along with Dean Colley. Dean is the bookstore manager. So I guess as we talked in the last segment, Dean, I mean, I guess things do evolve and things change. I mean, I can remember that because I can remember you would go in and it used to be just, like you said, some of the hardcore books. And now I like the flags and the maps and the coins and just all the little things that probably a historian like John at times would look at and think in his mind, that seems like a trinket.
Well, and you know, I think one of the other product development things that has been exciting, and we've tried to really encourage this and grow our little segment of this in all of our shops, are the children's items.
Hmm.
And so when he would think that, oh, that's a trinket for you, the plush suffragette cat just probably is something that he blows his mind, right? But families are, as we see more and more families coming in, we're really trying to offer something to all age groups. And so, yes, hardcore books, but books for everyone. What he would consider trinkets are commemorative mementos for us, and then a great development of children's books and children's products.
And I've bought many a Christmas present from your bookstores.
Well, good. You come back again.
I will. And whenever I need something, I go in and get that kind of thing. One of the more exciting things for me was a few years ago when I visited Appomattox, and I saw a book, John, by you and Frank O'Reilly. I remember taking pictures and texting them to you because it was really exciting. But like every bookstore is different. When I went down to Appomattox, I remember telling John at the time, they had all these posters commemorating the surrender that I ended up buying and framing and putting around. And you never know going into a bookstore what to expect.
Well, and like John said, we try to make everything specific to that site. So when you walk into Chatham, you're going to see a very different mix of things mm-hmm. than when you walk into Fredericksburg. But, and I appreciate that you bought your Christmas presents there because the whole, like John was saying, the partnership is so important and the whole park benefits from that.
Yeah. It's Appomattox, was, not that long ago, was like the king of Eastern National Outlets for back in the 80s and 90s. Their sales were just out of this world.
Huh.
And, you know, and that was in a day where it was hard to find books. It was hard to find anything.
Yeah.
And so people would go there because they had such a fine selection of books. Now, of course, you know, you're competing in a society that, you know, you by the end of this segment could buy five books online that, you know, there might be only 100 copies out there, but you can find them.
Yeah.
So the market has changed so dramatically, and I'm not sure we, the Park Service, have quite caught up with that. I think Dean has caught up with it. We're probably a little bit sticks in the mud for her a little bit, and but we're coming along. We're coming along. But Appomattox has always been a phenomenon to me. You know, it's the perfect example of, you know, the place, and not unlike the Sunken Road, it's this powerful interpretive environment, mm-hmm. and people go there. They're excited by being in that environment, and they want to take something home from it. And you know, the Sunken Road is now, after its rehabilitation back 15 years ago, which people don't even realize, of course,
if you weren't here,
2003, yeah. 20 years ago, that was a city street. Mm-hmm. And so that's transformed Fredericksburg thing. But, you know, it's Dean has brought to us a kind of a dynamic thinking that we haven't always had. And so she pushes us a little bit in very gentle ways. Well, she cajoles us as well because she feeds us too. And but I think that all the decisions that we make are better because of that and her food and her wisdom and all of that. But you know, it's just it. As much as we like to look at a park service, you know, a visit to a national park as a kind of recreational aspect, there is a hard business side to it as well, and we need to pay attention to that and be attuned to that. Eastern National has exclusive rights. No one else can sell anything in the park. They have a unique position. They're called a cooperating association. They have a unique position with respect to the parks. And that frustrates people. We can't really bring in vendors and things like that to do things. But all of that is intended to keep Eastern National up and running and healthy and the vital partner that they are.
It's probably history, but it's probably Civil War books. History books like from around here are the ones, because I buy a lot now on Kindle just because it's easy to read on a Kindle, but it's not the same just to look at maps and things. Plus, I can buy Frank O'Reilly's book, which I did, and have him sign it, or, you know, the same with you. And there's something about that, but especially, I know Frank's book on the Battle of Fredericksburg. There are just maps and pictures in there that don't translate to a Kindle at all. 100%.
So many types of books. Just you can listen to them, you can mm-hmm. read them on Kindle, but the effect is not the same. And so, you know, but it's interesting. I mean, you know, Dean sends to me her monthly or quarterly list of the best-selling items, and it's been interesting to watch how that changes over time. There's some still a lot of kind of traditional stuff in there that is important, but you know, we were talking a while ago about passports and, you know, people's use of passports. Now, that's something that 30 years ago was hardly an idea,
right?
But National Park Service passports are big business. And I don't mean that people spend a lot of money on them, because the whole idea is that you don't have to spend a lot of money on them. But this whole process of, you know, getting your passport stamped at various parks has created this, I don't even know what you call
it. It's a phenomenon. There are Facebook groups about the passport program. This is their 35th anniversary of Passport to Your National Parks.
Oh, I never thought it was that old.
35 years ago in 1986, that little blue book for $9.95, it wasn't that then, obviously, came out, and everyone realized this is a way to pay just a little bit up front and then get a free stamp wherever you go, and that's your memento. And it's grown into 3 different editions of the book and passport stickers and all kinds of things, but it is a phenomenon. And I would say at least half of the visitors into the bookstore have that passport book, and they're getting it stamped. Children of all ages, you know, all the parents will come with multiple books.
Yeah, it's, you know, and there's lots of people whose goal is to go to all the national parks, or at least as many of them. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do all of them. A, because there are some in Samoa and in the Mariana Islands. And plus they're also adding all the time. I mean, you know, not too long ago we had 390 units, and now I think we're 423 or something like that. So, you know, it is an effort to do it. But it's interesting. I once made the mistake. Someone asked me a question about passports, and I responded in writing, and it ended up on a bulletin board for passport people. And they didn't get really mad at me, but it stimulated this debate about, you know, well, what's appropriate? Should the park stamp a piece of paper and send it to people if they forget? Well, you know, in some people's eyes, that's just kind of defeats the whole purpose. It's a violation. But I mean, but our approach to it is that we don't have any rules about the passport. You know, if people write to us and they want us to stamp a piece of paper and send it to them, I don't think we've ever had anyone mail their passport to us.
We have had people mail their passport. That's a scary, scary thing, to have that passport with 200 stamps in your hands, knowing you've got to get it safely back to them.
Right.
So now we make stickers. You can buy for $1 3 little stickers, and we can stamp those stickers and send those back to you.
Yeah. So, you know, but the purists would say, well, you didn't actually have to go to the park to get that stamp. I mean, there are some people who kind of get a little unhappy if you know, the stamp for Salem Church. I don't know if we still have one.
We still have one.
I mean, Salem Church is only open typically each year 3 hours a day on weekends, 3 or 4 hours a day on weekends for about 8 weeks of the year.
Right.
So actually getting a stamp at Salem Church is pretty hard.
Yeah.
And yet there are people who feel very strongly that that's the whole concept of the program. So it is a phenomenon. And if people don't have their passport stamps or their passports, it's a great way. I mean, kids love it.
Yeah.
People love it. It's a great motivator. And, you know, we have this in our family. We're working on all the presidential sites in the country. So you can pick a subset and do that. There's lots of ways to make it fun.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. John Hennessy, Dean Colley here from the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania Military Park here this morning. Dean Colley, the bookstore manager here, along with John Hennessy, the chief historian. So, John, as far as we've talked about just kind of changes, Just the writing aspect in the books, how has that changed?
So, you know, history flows unevenly sometimes, and it always reflects the present. You know, we like to think of history as this immutable set of facts and events, but, you know, how we see those things changes over time. And so, and the other thing that we always have to remember is that every generation, and we get frustrated by this sometimes, but every generation is going to express itself toward its past. So, you know, my generation, the understanding and kind of ways that we've expressed ourselves to the past are going to be completely insufficient for the rising generation. And they're going to find their own way. And they're going to see their history through the lens of the present. I mean, you know, if you ever want an example of how history is relevant, just look at the last year. I mean, one year ago, right now,
right,
we're in the midst of maybe the most tumultuous time in modern Fredericksburg's history,
yeah,
and certainly one of the most tumultuous in our nation's history. And that has fundamentally demanded of us to see our past maybe a little bit differently. Now, that makes some people mad because they see history as this immutable, granite-like structure. But it's not that. It's never that. History always serves the present. And, you know, our understanding of past events is always cast and recast depending on who's looking and at what point in time they are looking. You know, that's one reason that the Confederacy is having such a time right now, because, you know, and we've talked about this before, more and more people are looking at the Confederacy not through the warm or rosy glow of their ancestors' participation, but through, you know, the hard facts of what the Confederacy was striving to achieve, which was a society that made a perpetual commitment to the sustenance of slavery. And as people see that more clearly, and it's written right into their Constitution, that is an immutable fact, that was one of the intents of the Confederacy, it's harder to see the Confederacy in a positive light for many Americans. And that's a painful transition. And you see that. I'm actually astonished at how far the needle has moved on that question in the last 5 years since the Charleston shootings in 2015. Just a remarkable transformation. And this isn't because of new scholarship. The scholarship has been there all along. Historians haven't argued about the cause of the Civil War or you know, kind of the motivating factors of the Confederacy for generations, really, or at least decades. But what has changed is that the public is beginning to see and understand those things in new and different ways. So, you know, history is a dynamic business. I mean, I've seen it vividly in my career. I mean, when I started, we stood outside, we told funny stories, we made people cry, but we didn't really say, help them understand anything beyond the moment. And now I think we see our role as a little bit different than that. And not to tell people what to think, but to help them understand how we got to where we are right now. And that's a big challenge. And so, you know, that's reflected in the things that Dean sells. That's reflected in the things that scholarship is producing right now. You know, there was a tremendous emphasis on, you know, for example, women's involvement in the Civil War. And that's because for 100 years, scholars and the public largely ignored that. There's a tremendous emphasis on the experience of civilians. And that's because we used to see battlefields as just these kind of sterile set pieces with a house here and a house there, but they were just reference points for troop movements. And now we see that these spaces have a life of their own, a history of their own, and the people who lived in these spaces have an important story to tell. We see a lot of work on emancipation and freedom going on right now. And then, so what happens, the way this business works is that scholars do their work, and then, because scholars don't always write for the public. Some of the stuff is hard. Some of it's almost impenetrable sometimes. But that's where public historians come in. That's where writers who are able to kind of translate, you know, from that hard, kind of very heavily documented, very rigorously argued historical arguments into a language and a style that people can understand. And you know, what Dean does in the bookstore is part of that process, whether it be selling a poster or a T-shirt or, mm-hmm. or a book or a tome or whatever it is. It's all part of that process. And it's fascinating to watch it change. And it's especially been fascinating to watch it change so rapidly in just the last 5 years.
Right. So, you know, and I think a lot of what we're trying to put into the bookstore right now is to satisfy some of that public demand. Because what our visitors are asking for is very different from what they were asking for when I first came here.
Mm-hmm. So, which was just a couple years ago.
It was 3 years ago. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, and that quickly, it sort of, you know, we were stocking the shelves with sort of our standard classics, things that sell well, but it was there just because it had been selling well. What we've started doing is really listening to our visitor and hearing what they're asking for and trying to pull some new books and different books, keeping things very balanced, but to satisfy what that demand is. And increasingly, it's like John was saying, let's talk about the civilians. Let's talk about emancipation. Let's talk about what the women were doing. Let's talk about what it felt like on the battlefield, what the sounds were, how the men were feeling as they were struggling. So yeah, a lot of it's driven by what the public's asking for.
I remember when you introduced, and I still remember the show that we did the morning you came in and talked about, and it was before the program with John Washington. And to read that book to me was just what was really a light came on and a realization that I had never considered certain things.
So John Washington was an enslaved man, grew up in Fredericksburg, spent his first 24 years as an enslaved person, and wrote a memoir in the 1870s within about 5 years, 6 years of emancipation. You know, when you read it, when you look at it in its raw form, it's kind of simply written, mm-hmm. inelegantly phrased at times. The spelling's terrible. The punctuation's, you know, kind of crazy at times. Capitalization's all over the place. But it is the most eloquent statement that I have ever read mm-hmm. of a life striving toward freedom. Here was a man who was never whipped. He lived on the scale of slavery, a relatively privileged life as an urban, living in an urban environment, lots of contact with people, lots of variety in the work that he was asked to do. And yet he makes clear the burdens of slavery upon him, on his soul, on his spirit, on his family, which yeah. was separated during the whole thing. So, you know, for a long time, we didn't listen to voices like that. And now we do. And that is a tremendous thing. It's not politically correct. Mm-hmm. We don't do it to be politically correct. We do it because it's historically just. It's the right thing to do. You know, we forget that in this community in which we live, in 1860, almost exactly half of the population was enslaved. So, you know, to spend half our time even talking about the experience of those people is just and right. And it's there's nothing politically correct about it. It's just good history. And so, you know, in that way, the Dean and our staff work really closely together. We still have the books of letters and diaries and campaign studies and battle studies and all of that. That's all still mm-hmm. there. And still sells very well. I mean, there's a tremendous market for that, although the market for Civil War stuff has changed and shrunken in some ways. I mean, there used to be if you wrote something that was halfway literate on the Civil War in 1993, it was easy to get it published. Now it's not. Publishers are being much more circumspect, much more cautious. And so when you see something come out now that's been published, chances are it's a better book because it's just a much more competitive market. And in that sense, while there's not as much stuff coming out, I think the quality of it is generally better. And one other thing, you know, we don't have any editorial tests for stuff that we sell. We sell material that espouses lots of different views on great figures and all of that sort of thing. As long as it's rooted in good scholarship and is a sensible argument, we're good with having that argument out there. We're not kind of shaping. Now, we don't sell stuff that doesn't stand the rigor of scholarly kind of analysis, mm-hmm. for sure. We don't really sell opinion pieces, for sure. But I think you'll find plenty of stuff with, there's a lot of room to debate about some of these things. They're not immutable. We use that word a lot. And Dean's sales mix kind of reflects that. And so Eastern National is so important to what we do. It's been so important in my career. It's one of the great joys I've always had is this kind of, for me, it's a sidelight. For Dean, it's what she does every day. You know, and when I say a sidelight, I don't have to pay attention to it all the time because she's really good at what she does. But I thoroughly enjoy kind of watching and see how what she does changes over time because it really reflects the society that we're in. And it's pretty exciting to watch.
Well, this show has made me want to, because I haven't been to one of the bookstores since the pandemic. And so now I need to go visit.
Please come visit.
All of them.
Please come visit.
And in doing so, just remember, you can buy lots of stuff on Amazon, but none of the stuff you buy on Amazon is going to help us, help mm-hmm. the park. Be better at what we do. And that's especially important now because the pandemic has, you know, just wiped out so many businesses and has really had a big impact on Eastern National. But I will say Dean's operations, she's in the upper like 5th percentile of Eastern National operations and keeping things going and floating. And
we've had to be very creative. Yes. About doing some things. But, you know, there is a big central Eastern National online store, but they don't carry the site-specific things that we do.
Yeah.
So we've had to get very creative, and with the park's help, they've actually put some things online, and people have done some online ordering. We're not Amazon, but we've gotten creative in doing things.
So come see us.
You'll get things in these stores, especially specific to this area.
Right.
Like I say,
right.
It's great. It's great, right. Christmas and right. birthday gifts.
Yeah.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. Dean Colley and John Hennessy from the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park. Quick break and we'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
John Hennessy and Dean Colley from the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park. Just a few minutes left, but John, where do we stand right now with the Park Service?
So we, as I mentioned earlier, this has all happened really quite fast.
Yeah.
And so we're in the process of kind of assessing. We don't know. You know, one of the challenges, of course, is that we don't know and we cannot know who's been vaccinated and who has
sure.
not been, whether it be staff or mm-hmm. whether it be visitors. And so we've got to be cautious about that. One thing we've learned in the last year, all of us, is that this virus doesn't do what we think it's going to do all the time. So things are certainly heading in the right direction. We're starting to talk about how we might be able to reopen our buildings. As I said, they've been closed for a year and a half, and you know, we've kind of sprawled staff through them to create some workspaces and things of that sort. So we have a lot of work to do, but I'm hopeful that we're going to get back to something close to a normal operating status. You know, things are, I'm not even going to attach a time frame to it, but sometime in the near future. We're all anxious to do that. And, you know, it's been a tough time. We haven't seen each other much. We haven't been able to do programs. We're going to do some programming this summer.
Oh, good.
Daily sort of stuff for our visitors. And we're excited about that, to get back to doing what we love to do, for sure.
Well, you've been so good at it, and all of you have just been able to tell the story and to have that all taken away. And like you said, and it's what you did, just it couldn't go on. Yeah. So that's been the struggle.
You know, our staff, there's nothing on earth that our staff appreciates more than someone who's excited or interested in being at the park. I think when most people visit national parks, they don't realize how valued a motivated or excited visitor is by the staff, because a lot of people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of visitors are a little bit ambivalent, and they're a challenge too. I mean, they're a great opportunity for us to engage them. But one of the things about the Park Service is, I don't know anyone who works on the front line of the Park Service who doesn't absolutely love what they do. And they love to do it because it serves people and it makes their lives and their days better. And so, you know, take advantage of it. The other thing is, people don't realize when you go to a national park, the people who know more about that park than anybody else in the world are the people who work there.
Yeah.
I mean, these are true experts about the park and about the events that took place here. I'm curious what Dean's reaction is to being in the presence of radio legend this morning for an hour.
This has been one of the most exciting mornings of my life, Ted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dean, you have been a great guest. This has been great, and you as John prepared you for this show, I saw the email and I just thought, oh,
he's
Dean,
terrorizing. He's going to terrorize you, Dean. That's what he said.
Yes,
I feel well and truly terrorized.
I knew it would not. I knew it would not be that way. This has really been great stuff. And are you usually at the Fredericksburg?
I'm splitting my time sort of equally between Air 4 sites.
Okay.
We're hoping that we'll get Chatham up and running soon.
And you also manage the birthplace, George Washington.
And George Washington birthplace in Thomastown.
Yeah.
Out of time, John Hennessy and Dean Colley, thank you so much. Make sure you do your shopping at the bookstores. You'll help locally, and it's stuff you're not going to find. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for the show. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.